On planet Earth, at the peak of human ingenuity, we still haven't managed to save ourselves from ourselves. Two brave souls have decided to take on our enemy to prevent the world from falling into the
Let motherfuckers feel the climate change. Let motherfuckers feel the climate change.
Timothy Morton, professor of English at Rice University and the author of Being Ecological and Dark Ecology for a Future of Coexistence, among other books, was recently asked by Earther and Gizmodo, how will we know the world is ending? Here's his response. The very question indicates that the world has already ended. You are already dead. This is the afterlife, aka the beginning of real history, when humans finally get to collaborate on a more equal basis with non-humans. Feelings of unreality or uncertainty are symptoms of trauma. When you're in a car crash, you wonder whether it's really happening. The pain of all kinds comes later. Has global warming really started yet? Is a sign that it has already started, a little bit like, I wonder when this acid is really going to kick in. In ecological terms, the biosphere is no longer relatable. You can't forget about it. Hurricanes happen in weird and scary ways, and the Mediterranean belt of Earth is bursting into flame. And we know there's no, quote, away. When you flush the toilet, you know where it goes. Into the wastewater treatment plant, the ocean, or whatever. Where it doesn't go is this magical place called away. We now have planetary awareness, whether we like it or not. It's one of the reasons why there are fascist movements all over Earth. So your intuition is correct. How will we know the world is ending? This is a nightmare. And isn't that a relief and a fantastic challenge? I paraphrase some of that.
That was heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So, collapse. Hi, I'm JP Hurst.
I'm Casey Snow.
And today we're going to dig a little deeper into that.
Maximum carbon sinkhole.
That fucking sinkhole.
I'd like to focus closer onto the most important part of what you talked about.
Yeah.
She's really excited. And
there's
happy.
A lot of animals in the room. Yeah. That's why you tune in.
So, acid and wondering when it's going to kick in. It is a funny thing. That is a very visceral experience when you're on acid because you're constantly wondering if you feel it because you're not sure if you do because reality itself is kind of a trip.
Whoa.
So it's kind of weird like that. Yeah.
The background just dropped out.
Yeah. And that's the wonderful thing about doing acid is after you've done acid, you realize you can always a little bit feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
The unreality.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So basically everybody should drop acid.
So, Casey, if you hadn't heard, the world is ending, except what do we mean by world? We mean civilization. We mean all the things that we're into.
Humanity.
The world, quote, the planet, the geology, this round rock, 30 light years from the sun or however far away it's from the sun.
It's super
man,
far.
It's been here before. It's like, I don't give a fuck. Like, you guys fucked it up this time. That was pretty interesting. But Gaia herself, she's not ending.
No.
She's got places to be until the sun swallows her up.
She's just going through some changes.
Yeah, that's that time.
Yeah.
And she's got to shed some of her children.
That's right.
The world is ending, and we think that we've reached the end of capitalism. Hell, we think we've reached the end of history. And there's a dour, sour, sulfurous, foul smell in the air, Casey. And it's just that people are depressed because everyone can see the ecological disaster, the cliff that we so often talk about we're driving over. And we know we're doing it together. And it's hard to fucking deal with. Sometimes you just gotta smoke a little to deal with it.
Yeah, I highly recommend it.
But one question that we come back to often is when? And not in the when sense of prediction, but what's the order of operations here for ecological disaster? And the question that I think answers that question is when can I stop paying my mortgage? Or when Can we stop paying our rent and murder the landlord?
Exactly.
Because that's what you're all thinking. It's all fine and well to say, well, this shit's going down. But is it? I mean, it is. But what if it's not in our lifetime? What if it's not in our kids' lifetime?
The problem is there's a lot of people out there who might even be on this track already. However, they're making bad decisions. Like, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think it's going to be pretty soon. So I'm going to get some credit cards and I'm going to rack them up and I'm just going to ride this out as high as I can. And that's, I get it.
Applause.
I get it. Applause. Like, I get the draw to that. I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, when it comes down to it, we're not going to stop it.
No.
It's the end is nigh and it's inevitable. It is important to get out that it's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen.
It's going
to
happen.
You can be like, you people are conspiracy theorists or you guys are preppers or you're survivalists or whatever. It's like, I think that we'll see some stuff that we don't want to see in our lifetime. I don't know what in what order. I have some ideas.
Well, how much do you really think the market could have contracted before the government was overthrown, before the next world came in?
Right.
And so though we're all very glib as we talk about the world ending, i.e. human civilization, i.e. humans, i.e. all life on Earth. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What do we really mean? Because I'm pretty convinced that this is just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. And the current system can withstand some fucked up shocks and major loss of life. I don't think capitalism is like three mudslides away from its own demise.
So, but I would like to say the way I look at the kind of the end is not so much like there's a full stop end. I mean, I don't think there is a full stop end. I think it is a downward tumble.
And
I don't even think it's a roller coaster tumble. I think it's a tumble. I think it's
let's be clear, we're already tumbling.
We are. We are. When I'm calling the end, I mean where it's actually going to touch me.
Which
just
is
not even that like it's all over, but I don't know, hordes of people, the lack of food, crazy storm. Yes.
Essentially, I agree with you, and that's why we feel like this is the best metric of assessing the threat of collapse.
Right.
It means, like, when does the bank no longer care if I mail my check there? Or when can I murder the landlord and sleep in his Rolls Royce instead?
Right, right.
Okay? Like, that's when it will affect people. Mm-hmm. Like, the oceans can be devoid of life, but if you still got to get up and go to work in the morning, otherwise some jackboot comes and kicks your house in and says, this belongs to the bank now.
So I don't think that life in the ocean is going to end and people are going to be going to work. I think if at the point that all life is dead in the ocean means there's some people working, but most people are dying. Most people have no food. Most people are no longer in the monetary system because they have reached that poverty level.
So what's the okay? What's the curve then? When do the lines intersect?
Look at,
I know, but when do they intersect?
Well, I don't know.
Well, this is what I want to discuss tonight, Casey.
Oh, hit me.
Is where is that inflection point? You're saying that at a certain number of deaths, then you no longer have to go to work and you no longer have to pay the mortgage.
No, I think it's the greater income disparity. I think that's what it is.
And
it's not about, because there's going to be less jobs. Technology is already creating less jobs, right?
Right.
That's a fact. So is globalization and all that shit, right? Fact. So I think, like, what's funny is I think the US and stuff, we're going to see it before, let's say, India or China. Because we are going to have this massive amount of population who has A, no social safety net, and B, no jobs available, and C, inflation just going out of fucking control.
So here's
now, it does not necessarily overthrow the government, but it makes it so you don't want to go anywhere.
Including the people that would come and seize your house.
Right.
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 So I want to talk about food shortage. I want to talk about civil unrest, but specific to America for a second. I think that the system can withstand 50% unemployment.
Right. Yeah, no, for sure. But there's a lot of people that are no longer in the system at all.
Correct. Correct.
So that creates a very different world.
So I'm saying,
so then that's the second world, right?
Yeah, that's right. and I'm saying going by the way, I know that there's a lot of people, they don't count when they say, oh, there's 4% unemployment. Well, just tens of millions of people stop working. So I'm saying under today's methodology, I think that number can go from 4 to 50.
Okay.
Before people see that this is no longer tenable.
But the thing is that ride to 50% is still going to affect people. It might make it so, hey, guess what? No more fresh produce.
Well, period. Of course it's going to affect people, right. But I'm talking about, I think the metric for tonight is when can you stop paying your mortgage?
Okay.
The collapse.
And you think you still have to pay your mortgage at 50% unemployment?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Of course it's going to affect people. Of course people are going to die.
Wow.
Of course the air is going to get impossible to breathe.
Why do you think that?
Of course there's going to be food shortages.
Because at 50% unemployment, you're going to have such a huge amount of abandoned and vacant and fucked up. And just like, I'm still not sure that somebody's going to come and seize your house. I think the government at that point is fucked. Like the local governments, and those are the people that are going to help you. A sheriff's department is not going to come and get you out of your house. I just don't believe that. And I know that because I've done that. I've pulled people out of their homes because the landlord said they had to go and the judge said they had to go.
So when
And there's a point where you're going to go, no, I'm not going to do that.
So what?
Or we just don't have the people.
Well, at what unemployment rate do you believe that cops will stop?
I think at 50% unemployment rate, you are definitely running into the fact that rural police departments are no longer manned.
So what unemployment rate do you believe that the sheriff's department is going to go on strike?
It's not on strike.
Well, refuse to.
It's they don't have the money to pay people to do the job.
And you don't think there's people that want to be sheriffs for free?
Not at that point. I think there's
a lot of people that would sign up to shoot motherfuckers.
But then that's a whole different thing. That is no longer the government. That's people saying, you know what? I'm going to be police.
Okay.
And that is the end of our civilization.
So what percent unemployment is that?
Well, 50's high. I mean, I can't imagine 50. I mean, that's...
Well, this is precisely what I want to talk about.
I think it's less than that.
This is exactly what I want to talk about.
I think it's less than that. Now, how much less is that? I think it depends where you are in the country. I mean, like where we live, we already have some of the highest unemployment in the state.
So,
and we still have to pay our mortgage.
Yeah. And so let's step out just a little bit, right? Like I'm zeroing in there the proxy of the unemployment rate in the U.S., right? For when does the government collapse because the enforcement arm of the government can no longer do its job, right? So I'm saying foreclosures and then you're putting IRS, sheriffs, no one's there.
Right.
Fuck you. When in this climate catastrophe clusterfuck will the government no longer enforce the most insidious parts of its existence? That's the different world.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm wondering how many ecological dominoes have to fall before we get to that point.
I'm afraid it's way too many.
Yeah. So here on Maximum Carbon Sinkhole, you've heard us say before that this is the dystopia. Make no mistake.
Yeah. And we are being optimistic.
Oh, yeah. 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 And here's the other thing, too, is that depending on where you are in the world right now, in early 2019, you might already think the world has ended. There are failed states all over the place.
Yeah.
Yemen, Syria, Pakistan is probably next in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
These failed states are where the government has ceased to exist.
And we've mostly manufactured that.
Right. We are still exporting our displacement.
Mm-hmm.
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 Because it's better it happened somewhere else. And it's the myth bursting displacement. When the myth of the organizing principles of your community, of your country break down, the myth that we all should follow these laws or that, you know, endless growth is something that's possible. That's what we're talking about. It's like when that shared myth of, the government's not a thing anymore. It's every man for himself.
Right.
And so displacement plays a big role in ending that myth. And that's why you're seeing in Syria, in Yemen.
Right.
And this refugee crisis,
right?
Obviously, this starts with economic collapse and famine.
Mm-hmm.
And then once a couple million people, they got to leave, like this causes waves throughout the entire region.
Right.
right? So that's going to happen to the U.S. at some point.
Right, absolutely. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Yeah, but even here in the U.S., if you're in Miami during a king tide, you might think, yeah, we're through the looking glass here. If you're in Flint, Michigan and can't drink the water, you might think, yeah, there's no fucking government up here. Okay, again, we're in the dystopia. Yeah. It's just not evenly distributed.
No, it's not. And it's really not. It's insane not.
Yeah.
It really, yeah. That's a great, great point. That's a great point.
California with the fires and the mudslides, you know, Houston.
Yeah,
you know,
and let me just say.
Ohio recently.
These road closures from mudslides are not being reported accurately.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane. Like, I read three different, like, you know, road closures wreak havoc on Southern California, and Ellen DeGeneres can't get to work, and the longest road closure of whatever this certain road was. And each one of them I read, none of them said mudslide.
Yep.
They said debris.
Debris from heavy rains.
And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is mudslide due to fires, due to you shouldn't fucking live there.
Right.
We need to start thinking about where we should move.
Yeah.
And motherfuckers who are reading this.
And you think that'd be the easiest thing is like, where was the mudslide? Oh, we had a major story here like a month ago. God, what was that?
I know.
A bunch of people died. It was like right in this area. It looks
that must have been a
here.
Different country.
You can't even write the story that way. Well, here's the data that they should use, that the authorities should use, KC. Kimmy. It's number of motherfuckers sleeping in a Walmart parking lot.
No shit, right?
That should be, that along with the veteran suicides should be the only thing on the news. There's,
you would be really surprised at how many people sleep at Walmarts in Colorado, though.
I mean, yeah. Or like, and 153,000 Uber drivers close their day with a nap in their car. I'm Greg Beasterly with the Channel 9 News. Like that, those three metrics. Uber drivers sleeping in car, veteran suicides, and people perma-camping in a Walmart parking lot. Okay?
Okay.
Like if you had these figures on your fucking smartphone.
People wouldn't look at their smartphones so much.
Like, why do I have this thing? It's depressing.
This is depressing.
Yeah. You're still depressed because of your smartphone.
Wow, we just figured out how to stop the smartphone addiction. We need a virus. Some code person needs to send some virus for...
Yeah, hey, code person out there.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Do some code
do
or
some
something.
Code or whatever.
Yeah. So, okay. Let's go back to the ecological problems that are going to lead to this clusterfucking, isotizing more.
So, the book, The Bonobo and the Atheist by Franz de Waal. I just thought of it today because I remembered the garden painting, which I think very much is the first like warning of what we are going to do to the planet. And it was from the 1400s. The artist's name is Hieronymus Bosch. I probably said that wrong.
Is it with a J like Geronimo?
Yeah, it's J-H-E-R-O-N-I-M-U-S.
Okay.
Hieronymus.
All right, Harry.
1400s. So I'm not going to talk about the painting from the garden that motherfucking actor guy talked about in that one movie. The Hay Wain. Look up The Hay Wain. The Hay Wain.
Is a painting?
As a painting, yes. Let me find it. Let me read the description here. The fine example is the other Bosch triptych in room 56 known as The Hay Wain. It shows a wagon with an enormous pile of hay passing through a crowd of people. On closer inspection, we see that the people are fighting over straws. In Middle Dutch, hooi, hay, signified vanity, nothingness, emptiness. The painting shows people at each other's throats over mere hay, pulling knives and pummeling each other, while others are getting crushed under the wagon wheels. The clergy is very much part of the scramble. As a portly monk waits for nuns to fill his hay bag, noblemen and the Pope follow the wagon on horseback with all of their dignity intact to show that the haves don't need to mingle with the have-nots to get what they want. The wagon rolls on, luring everyone like a Pied Piper toward the right-hand panel where hell awaits them. The triptych would make a perfect conversation piece for churches preaching the prosperity gospel, which promises financial blessings to the faithful. Given Bosch's message that greed is ugly and pointless, this is obviously one of the oldest messages of Christian morality, as reflected in Jesus' statement that for a rich man to enter heaven will be harder than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. The triptych exposes the corrupting influence of material wealth, presenting its pursuit as a life spent grasping at straws, literally. And I know you might be like, that doesn't make any sense. What does that have to do with the end of the world? But that's exactly what's happening right now. The rich are riding through and crushing everybody. And we're all going to enter this hellish landscape that we've kind of done to ourselves.
So you're saying that
by being greedy fucking assholes.
And the global rich.
And this was done in the 1400s.
Okay. The global rich have always been the apocalypse. I don't know, though. I mean, I hear you reading that description.
And I mean, this is anti-religion. That's the main point of this book, so.
Well, as you're describing it, though, you know, I know that it's, like, heavy and stuff, but I sort of wondered, like, we don't actually know if they had sarcasm back in the 1400s. Like, what if this was just, like, a Monty Python painting? It was just like, haha, the world's kind of like that right now, sort of.
Well, that's true.
Just plainly stated. And what if it's humorous?
It could have been. But the point still is if you look up that image on the internet, it doesn't matter what the intention is. I mean, it's what I see. And I think anybody that had any idea of what the world looks like would see the same thing.
But what if you were from 2,000 years into the future and you saw the Monty Python skit, the Department of Silly Walks? And you're like, yep, they were all getting cerebral palsy in the late 20th century.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, when I saw that, I was like, I wouldn't doubt if the fucking queen had some weird ass shit like that. That bitch seems crazy.
Guys in fucking bowler hats.
Wigs and shit.
So you're saying that this idea that what we're doing in civilization is stupid is an old one.
Well, yeah. And I'm also saying, I think not enough people, but there has always been people who have said, hey, this maybe isn't going to work out great for us.
Yeah. Where are their voices now?
Or the short run. You know what I mean? Well, they're right here. We got a podcast. That's cool.
So are we. So, okay. I think what you're pointing to is perhaps a delusion. Is the system stronger than we imagine, because people have been calling for its demise for over 400 years.
Well, that's here the we thing are. Is I think that's exactly it. It's been morphing, because if obviously it's different now than it was then, mm-hmm. right? It's become more progressive. So to our eyes, but I mean, we're still, who can actually never work? Somebody who doesn't own anything, including land. So you're just sleeping in other people's places or outside. But still, that could be considered illegal depending on where you do that. So we're all enslaved to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a fact. So if we've always been enslaved and we always will be enslaved, does it fucking matter? You know, it just keeps morphing into this more like, oh no, this seems like freedom. I think we're free. This is free. I fight for freedom, 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 terrorism, freedom, non-freedom. And it's all still wrapped in this religious like noose that nobody can seem to escape.
If you're listening to us thus far and you're thinking, wow, this is a very meta-analysis of dark ecology and actually a performance piece explaining how dark ecology works, you see us folding in and in and in on ourselves, and you're thinking, I can't believe these fuckers planned this. We haven't.
We're that good.
Well, so this is the topic. when can we stop paying our mortgage? Right.
Right.
When can we murder the landlords? Right. Like, this is a question that we've been talking about for a long time. I put this episode off for a while because I'm like, I don't know how to talk about this. But every fucking day, somebody at your fucking office is like, yeah, well, the world's ending. And tomorrow I'll be like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
What do you actually like? It's our psyche has evaporated. Correct.
Yes.
But we still got to be at this fucking stupid job.
Right.
You know, so when is the world ending? And, you know, and to Morton's point, the fact that we're even talking about it, again, we're in the dystopia, right? We all agree. So how much longer is this going to suck for?
So, yes.
And again, you might already be thinking, it sucks. It sucked for me forever. It never just got better, right?
Right.
For the great majority of the rest of us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but I guess I'm at a point of looking at this a little bit differently, because I'm trying to make it so our world will never end.
Well, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't fucking matter. Like that, that's my goal.
Yeah, that's definitely a major point of voluntary minimalism or downshifting or dropping out.
Right.
Or just, you know, trying to grow your own food or just trying to get out of the system, trying to reject dominant culture.
Yeah.
Is that it doesn't matter how far into the future, now, current, present, today, it's a nicer way to live.
Right.
100%.
Yeah.
So yeah, we don't think that dropping out has allowed future civilizations to go on. We just want to live this way right now.
Right. Yeah. Because it feels better.
Yeah. It's.
It just feels better. Because, man, like, it's fucking weird out there.
Uh-huh.
It's weird. And, like, the more you're out of it, the more weird it is because you're like, I can't believe anybody would do that or buy that or try to look like that or whatever. And it's like, you could call it judgment, sure.
Right.
But it's mostly just a like, what is going on? And how am I the only one standing here with my jaw to the floor and my hands out going, what the fuck?
This can't possibly be the best that we can do.
You know? And the funny thing is because I've given up even trying. I mean, I don't really talk to like strangers or anything. But, you know, sometimes in the store, some old lady will be like, hi, sweetie, can you grab the thing from the top shelf? And I usually do, and I don't say anything. And, you know, more so I've been just like, well, you know, you're not going to be able to get, you know, tomatoes in 10 years. How are you going to feel about that? Maybe you won't be able to reach them then because there won't be any on the shelf because, you know, climate change.
Famine.
And you know
food
what?
Shortages.
Nobody has been like, shut up, or no, you're being, they're like, yeah, well, can you still get the can? I was like, I mean, I can't.
I still got to eat shit today, man. I mean, I get it. All right. All right, Casey, I'm going to drop it on you. All right.
Okay.
This is what this is fucking impossible to talk about, right?
Yeah.
You
can't call, like, okay.
Not from a gut perspective.
I have one friend that listens to this
logic?
Podcast who, like, gets it and she's fucking awesome and she's badass. But that's it. Anybody else, if I even were to bring, I should probably even read what I read to her, because I'm like, am I crazy? Give me on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being like weird normal, to 10 being like, get this bitch a fucking straitjacket. Like, because I need a reality check sometimes, because I see so many normal people walking around doing normal things and thinking everything's okay. And I'm
right.
Like, wait a minute, you know, I must be fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I must be crazy.
I know a dude that's like got kids that are like,
and she hasn't answered yet, so I'll let you know what she
says.
Oh,
sorry. Did I interrupt you?
No, you totally didn't.
Okay.
I love you.
I know a guy that's got, you know, his two kids are just entering elementary school, and he's talking to me about, like, which Ivy League school they should go to.
God.
And I'm like, I mean, you think that's going to fucking matter?
Yeah. Like, but then at the same time, like, what if Harvard's still doing their Harvard bullshit and fucking, you know, 10 to 15 years.
And people are still like, yes, we still want the Harvard
like,
grads.
Like 15
that's,
years.
That's what we need more of. We haven't had enough.
It's obviously helped us thus far.
Yeah.
So, but honestly, like at the one point I'm like, there's no way in 15 years there's people scrambling to go to Harvard.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, of course there will be.
And this is what
because
I'm saying.
People
it's like,
are fucking crazy.
There are no more sharks in the ocean.
Right.
Is that enough for like Harvard's like, well, we locked the doors.
They're like, we're going to need some more biologists to study that.
Yeah. You know what we're going
to
need?
We're really good at studying things
we're
that
need
already
to,
happened.
To get another endowment from Chase Bank, JP Morgan, and those other assholes.
Yeah
they're gonna say we need more of that to start, you know,
yeah
front,
like
you know?
It's gonna be crazy.
What if it was like Rockside kills 2 billion people in the Himalayas?
They'd be like, well, can we still get Himalayan rock salt?
Yeah,
I need a lamp. It, you know,
I mean,
it balances my chakra.
I mean, like, it didn't knock out the servers for any of my frequent flyer miles, right? So
yeah, speaking of that, motherfucker, we needed an anti-aircraft gun on the top of our fucking house.
Oh, yeah, this whole thing with us, you've heard us bitching about just fucking ground the airplanes. We mean them all, not just commercial travel. But especially these dudes, these fucking old motherfuckers, and their fucking prop planes.
Yeah, They're fucking flying.
Being pieces of shit.
Look at
me up there flying over your house, please. Just what you want to hear when you're gardening, right?
I know. It's insane this morning. Went out, feed everybody, water everything. Beautiful. The birds were just, it's an interesting time right now. I think there's some birds that are coming back up north, you know, but there's some that are still heading a little bit south, and then there's the ones that are still here. So it's a great, just a fucking chorus of fucking happy ass birds in the morning. And I'm like, and then I'm like, motherfucker. And there was one after another after that. And I'm like, God damn it.
And 100% of these pilots are men over the age of 70.
And they don't crash enough.
Oh, no, not enough. You're like, oh, these fucking single engine planes or whatever.
Which also, I have to say, like, I've always had a fear of that, which is weird. I'm not scared of flying. I am scared of a plane landing on me, but it's happened to people. It has happened to people.
Yeah. It happened in suburban Colorado.
Yeah.
They fucking crashed.
Fucking that shit scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, like Donnie Darko. Maybe Donnie was into dark ecology. Pause for a pee break.
You want your food to come from fertile soils. The farm-to-table movement created a dining experience that brings you closer to those fertile soils. But now, we can cook your food in a way that comes full circle. At Shithouse Pizza, we have created a back-to-the-earth experience that has caused a media shitstorm. Here at Shithouse Pizza, we go a step further. We aren't just a farm-to-table restaurant, we're an ass-to-table restaurant. We use our customers' own shit to create bricks that we dry in the sun. We then light the shit bricks aflame beneath a hand-tossed pizza, creating a masterpiece of sustainability. From our menu, you can also order pizza brought to life by shit that fertilizes the shit you're eating. Vegetables love our customers' shit. Each guest eats our shit and then contributes to the next meal via our composting toilet. That shit goes into the garden and, well, the circle of fucking life. Now you can come full circle, one shit at a time. Come on over to Shithouse Pizza, the original ass-to-table restaurant. It isn't just a movement, it's a way of life. Come to take a shit, stay for the pizza. Restrooms open to the public 24/7.
We've reached that stage of dropping out where we are peeing in pitchers in the garage now.
That's true.
We're collecting our own urine and storing it.
I gotta tell you, I'm fucking sold, by the way.
Collect your urine and sprinkle it throughout your neighborhood.
Yes.
Watch the flowers grow. Watch the lettuce come up.
Yeah, it's a miracle grow. I would sell it on the side of the road as miracle grow.
Yeah, nitrogen. Check it out in your pee. Owing to the fact that most of the effects of collapse are not off or on, they're progressive.
Right.
As in, we've said, we're already in the dystopia. We've been in the dystopia. We've probably... at least anyone listening to this awoke into the dystopia.
Right.
We are amidst collapse. And again, its effects have not been distributed evenly, not throughout time and not geographically.
Right. And there are still resources.
Yeah.
Like, so, I fully believe that we will exhaust them. We won't be like, well, we should preserve a little bit of sand and a little bit of, you know, oil and a little bit of carbon, whatever the fuck people pull out of the ground, diamonds, I don't know, all the resources in the world, we will exhaust them.
We'll be like, if we killed all the animals, like, why can't we dig up the rest of that coal?
Exactly. I mean, Africa doesn't have any animals anymore except for humans. I mean, humans aren't animals, of course, but
yeah,
you know, that's it, that's there. And same with it turns out North America, there's nothing but some crows and turkey vultures everywhere.
Well, maybe that's what we should say to the idea of collapse. Again, not a prediction show, but just sort of how will it be felt?
Yeah. And right? I think
and
for
the order
me,
of operations.
And I think for me, I'm actually more, I mean, I'm worried about civilization collapse from the possibility of violence, obviously. But I'm mostly worried about seeing ecological decline, because that's actually what I think will personally affect me the most, like psychologically affect me the most.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I don't think those two are the same. I think those two collapse at different times. It's already, I mean, you know, the ecological world is already collapsing. So, and we're not changing. So
there was a guy stealing this lichen that grows like a sponge that grows in the oak leaves. On the side of the road, he was stealing one. It was like the size of like a huge pumpkin, and apparently it took like 30 years to get that big. And this dude is just like shoving it into a trash bag as we drove by. And we just drove by and just kind of gawked.
And he had like four trash bags.
Yeah. And it was a sad moment for Casey.
I lost it.
Yeah. We turned the car around.
I was like, I can't.
And I was like, do you want me to go hit him? I mean, like,
this guy was clearly in poverty.
Yeah.
And
we
were
like, what is he going to do with
that? And I found out that's what they make toy train trees out of. The treetop, the canopy.
There it is.
Yeah.
Hey, do you have a train set
in
your basement?
So how fucked up is that, right? Like, that's how we're using, it's just.
It's not off or on. The effects are distributed unevenly. And again, it's sort of like, is it a whimper or is it a bang? And that goes both ways too, right? Is like, are we going to fix all this? Are we going to solve this with a whimper? Like, accidentally we invent something? Are we going to solve it with a bang? Like, again, we don't use the word solve around here, making fun of you using the word solve. But neither of those things is going to happen. So then is it going to go out with a bang? And this is what I'm saying is like, if 40 typhoons hit all at once on all of the major population centers, like, maybe that would be enough. But I feel like this system, I feel like the dollar will still be worth money many, many, many dozens of simultaneously occurring natural disasters.
Yeah, no, I think it'll go out in a fizzle. I think it's just going to be, there's going to be less and less people willing or able to participate in the system. And it's kind of like the one thing I took from the Zeitgeist movie with the, you know, we're going on to a new age. It's going to be the age of Aquarius.
Aquarius. Keep going.
Aquarius. Aquarius. The Zeitgeist and the Aquarius is, I do think that there is going to be, you know, this kind of handover of a new civilization. I just think that's going
to
happen.
I don't think there's going to be much to hand them. Like, I don't even
There's not. It's more of just like, so here's some destitute people that can be part of your new fucking civilization
and
later.
You guys,
we're dying.
And let's be honest, it's China's age.
I just think that they've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And I think they are going to their scrolls already, uh-huh, ready for.
This
for
has been 2100. One long
is
con.
Is 2100 when the age of Aquarius happens?
2150.
Oh, 2150.
Around there.
Around there. Okay.
Give or take.
You pay attention so well.
I do. I do.
I know. You really do.
So the Chinese century.
So the Chinese century.
It's Chinese age.
Chinese age.
So the age of Aquarius
age
is going to be one of China's dominance.
They've been dominant before though, right? Right.
Well, that's why I think this has been one long con. They're going to be like, see, and then these were the paved Roman roads.
Yeah.
Now we have the American interstate highway system. We didn't have to invade. We didn't have to do all this shit. We were just like coaxing them. We were like, good job. We'll send you more cheap shit. And then we're like, we're going to get as big as you. Ha ha. We were just laying back in the cut.
I just don't think ecologically there's going to be many. And I also don't think that there will be any roads left.
Okay. Pop quiz hot shot. By 2100, is the world population going to be 11.5 or 7 billion as the UN says, or will it be less than it is today?
It'll be less than it is today.
I am not that optimistic. I think it will be more than it is today.
Gross.
And 90% of those people will wish they were dead.
I mean, that's the thing, I guess. I say there's not going to be that many because that's what I want.
Yeah. I don't understand the mechanism.
Hope.
I don't think it exists. Okay.
Why can't we just stop?
I'm going to walk you through this because I've been thinking about this for months. Okay. If you're like,
and just so,
are you picking up what we're putting down in here? Write us carbonsinkle@protonmail.com.
Because I understand this is important. The reason this conversation maybe is a little out there and maybe is a little vague is because these are things that stress us out a little bit.
Yeah.
And these are things that we actually have been putting off talking to each other about because we're like, let's do this with microphones because A, maybe it'll help us figure it out. And B, if we don't, maybe somebody else is like, hey, I know how you feel. I have these ideas and that's cool.
Well, and there's real implications too, right? Because you wouldn't be out of line if you're like, I got 5 years. I'm going to beg, borrow, and steal my way to some sort of air rat and underground bunker. I'm just going to take it all out on credit cards to build my shelter.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't be wrong to do that because of all the different predictions of climate catastrophe.
Well, there's the 2020. Club of Rome.
Yeah, 2020 Club of Rome, right? And, you know, other people.
Yeah.
Right? And so if you did that, like, you, but if you were like, no way, I'm investing in property on the coast, like, you could also make like, well, yeah, if, you know, like, you'll probably find something to do with it. Right. I bet, you know, like, I bet you can, you know, squeeze blood out of that turnip some more.
Yeah.
I think so. Right. Both of those things. We're in a time when both of those life choices, yeah, they make sense.
Yeah. And that's how you know it's crumbling, right? But maybe it's always been crumbling.
Well, the myth is crumbling because we're like, I don't know. Like, yeah, this is, these, how are these equal? How are these? So we talk about that on a daily basis, yeah, you know?
Well, and it's all the cracks we see, and there's more and more, you know, it seems like every day, or at least we see people missing the cracks, which is just as appalling, you know?
So, yeah. So that's why, again, if you have a better way to sort of frame this up, collapse when, like, we're all talking about it. Everything you fucking read, everything you write, if you're a content maker, every conversation you have with your friends about this, if you can have this sort of dark ecological conversation, it circles around, but what do you mean by collapse? What do you mean by end? And that's going to be individual,
right,
for everyone. Yeah. And I'm wondering when it adds up collectively. Collectively, when do we experience that?
Yeah.
What is the tipping point collectively? We're all going to have different breaking points. The myth is dead for some of us, but we are still propelled by it.
Yeah. When do we all get on the same page? We can't get on the same page about anything.
Yeah.
Because why? The machine doesn't want us to.
And so
if we were all on the same page and we were all like, no, nobody can cut down any more big trees ever again.
Uh-huh.
That's already the majority of people. Nobody wants a sequoia to get cut down.
Yeah, nobody wants that.
Except for a timber company and a person that's getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
That's
99% of people, if you were like, should we let the 500-year-old tree should live.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
So collective opinions don't really matter.
Right. Right.
It's funny, right? And that is what scares me. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that makes me say, well, then we're never going to collectively do anything at all that will help or stop. And also, I don't even think we'll acknowledge it if they don't want us to.
Yeah, man.
Which is already happening.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. And you've seen this. It's flashed in front of your eyes. Again, that big study. It's like the opinions of the average American don't affect Congress at all. That was just a doink. That was a flash. That was the flash. The light behind that flash was that collective consciousness doesn't do shit.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Because it doesn't give collective action.
Yeah. Mass uprising where?
Yeah. Opinions don't matter. Yes, we all think women should have rights. Yes, we all think Black people should be treated fairly. And I think most people are like, Mexicans are fine.
Yeah.
You know? Like, but that doesn't matter. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. You know, I think most people don't want to see animals suffer. I think most people want to eat healthy. I think most, you know, but none of that matters. It's the machine that's in charge. And unless you say, you know what, this is what matters to me and this is what I'm going to make happen. And if everybody did that, that would be like a collective movement. But that's not how this works.
Yeah, we can't pull the levers with our minds.
Which is why,
man,
nothing's going to change and nothing's going to stop. But when
will it be forced upon us,
right,
from the outside?
Right.
So, Casey, let me give you my list.
Okay.
Okay?
Hit me.
I'm going to rattle off the order of ecological disasters that I think will occur.
Okay.
I've done some hardcore analysis here into look at all the feedback loops and just sort of lay out where they fit together.
Okay.
So I'm gonna lay out, I think, the order that's going to happen, and then we're going to go back, and I'm going to tell you where I think civilization collapses.
Oh, okay. Boy.
When the myth, when our collective myth of civilization, of human organization goes away. Okay. So first of all, I think that the system can withstand the shock of the sea ice melting.
Yep.
Okay. Then I think after that, we're looking at ocean hypoxia.
Yep.
Right. Death of the oceans. No more oxygen in the oceans or not enough. It causes the phytoplankton not to bloom anymore. Right. There's nothing to eat.
Yeah.
Not only that, but we lose more oxygen in our atmosphere. I think after that, you're talking about the permafrost carbon bomb going off.
Mm.
All of that melted, and the equivalent of another United States gets permanently tossed into the air.
Ooh.
I think after that, you're looking at rogue geoengineering.
Mm. Right? Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And
for sure. What's, and that's going to be scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to be really scary.
Because I, like, we couldn't stop it. If this is what Elon Musk wanted to do,
fuck
like,
that guy.
He could do it. I know, but I'm saying, like, some eccentric asshole, somebody with $1 billion could be like, yeah, I'll put 57 planes in the air for the next month, spraying shit everywhere. Like, it's actually affordable enough that one person could do it. Yeah. Okay, so think about some crazy state doing it, right? Sea levels, okay? When does Miami, when does New York, when does DC, when does Chicago get swallowed?
Right.
I think that's actually further out.
I do too.
I actually think that's the last thing. I think that's part of the cleansing process. I don't think that we are still in Times Square when the water comes for Times Square.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I agree.
So we both agree that that's further out.
I agree that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you think of my order there? I think it's sea ice, ocean hypoxia, permafrost, carbon bomb, rogue geoengineering, and then sea levels.
So I can't help but think, I guess I'm thinking of major events that are happening on the land, like permanent, you know, droughts or dried up rivers and lack of food. So I guess,
yes. So
I know that's not ecological, but it is a little bit.
Oh yeah.
You know, I mean, it still is.
Well, I've got a theory about that too that,
okay,
I want to float to,
okay,
you.
Okay. Okay.
So here's what I think globally, right? Mm-hmm. We'll talk globally and then we'll go into the US and pick your brain here. But I think that the axis where we talked about where the lines cross,
right?
Like,
right,
where does actually the consumption rate per capita fall, right? When does that actually fall?
Yeah.
And when does that actually start to affect population? Mm-hmm. Okay. When does that reflect each other? And I think it's after ocean hypoxia, because once I you know, there's something like 2 billion people or something depend on, right, food from the ocean. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So I think,
but
that's,
but those are
it.
Mostly brown people, and they're not in the United States, so who cares?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that I think that there's a global perspective, like I said.
And for those who have never listened to this before, I'm not saying who cares, I'm saying the world doesn't care.
Yeah, and what we're talking about is that the apocalypse is going to come for us all individually.
Right.
And again, when does it become a collective acknowledgement that that's it?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
All right? So what I want to say then is that I think, after the oceans empty out, I think that that is going to lead to famine, of course, and war, and that's going to happen at the same time that the groundwater has been depleted. I think that's when it happens. I don't think
I believe you.
Okay.
I don't think I'm with you. And the reason why is I do think a lot of people are going to die with no food in the ocean.
So do you think there's those Black
Friday?
But
those people are too poor and they don't matter to the United States at all. So people don't care.
This is what I'm asking though. Do you think that Black Friday still happens after 2 billion non-Americans die?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
I think what I do. Are you kidding me?
So you think we push? Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So do you think
so.
That Black Friday, mm-hmm, do you think that you still have to pay your mortgage after the permafrost carbon bomb? And so what that means is that the earth is for sure past 4 degrees Celsius. Right.
Yeah, I don't think that stops.
You think the sheriff's department is still showing up?
There might be some people that have, you know, that are forced to stop, but not enough that, no, I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So do you think?
I think it's the rogue geo.
So at the point where there's rogue geoengineering,
that's
when people are like, I'm not going to fucking work.
I think it's just, it's so bad. There's no more work. Yeah.
You know what? I'm not clocking in at the hospital to sweep up the blood.
I think the pay for the pay is so bad that it's like, well, I'm better off roaming somewhere and trying to scavenge weeds and eat. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not.
All right. So Casey's prediction is that you can't kill the landlord after the sea ice is gone, after ocean hypoxia, or after the permafrost melts. It's only in which point you see the rogue geoengineering happening by some asshole or some stupid fucking country, that's when it's like, what the fuck are we gonna,
because the stock exchange I think is now, no, I think it's, I think around rogue geoengineering, I believe that's the same point where, you know, like we just appoint a corporation to take over the government.
Corpsey Corps.
Yeah.
You've read this in a book before out there, The Literate Among Us.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do. I think that's the thing.
It's at that time where we're just like, it's Bezos can be president. That's
right.
Fine.
Could he please? Because maybe he could get me some food.
Yeah. Can we
on time at my house?
His brain is in a pickle jar. It's fine. He's algorithmed himself or whatever. Yeah.
So I absolutely.
So rogue geoengineering.
Yeah. Okay. That's where I am. Cause I think we are,
we're far away from the collapse.
Yeah. I think we like,
or are we?
Well, are we? I wonder. I think we are too addicted to our culture, and we need that in order to deal with the fact that we're all going to die. Because the thing is none of us talking right now are probably going to die due to climate change.
Right.
Right. But it does remind us of our own mortality.
Uh-huh.
And I think that in itself is too much for some people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they're like, no, I'm Black Friday's on, because if Black Friday's off, then I got to think about death.
And emotionally, I can't handle that.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of people that get it intellectually, but emotionally, it's sort of like, yeah. But what else are we going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
I got to watch the Macy's parade.
God, that's not still a thing, is it?
Oh, it's still a fucking thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I remember as a kid seeing that. And like, I kind of wanted to see it because I liked animals. And so there's usually some cool animal stuff. But like, I didn't like referring to any animals as their corporate sponsors. Like, it's the blah, 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 blah. Yeah. I didn't watch it. I'm not a big parade person. So I didn't watch it much. But it was like twice I saw
it. Huge surprise to the listening audience. You know, I thought she'd like parades. She does swear a lot. But I thought she'd be into
Well,
the
I go to those big fucking parades, you know.
So specific to the U.S.
Yes.
All right. So the Macy's Day Parade. When does that keep going on?
Oh, that goes on to the end.
So like,
that's the rich being proud of the rich. Come on.
So there's still people watching, like as the sprinkles.
Yeah,
as the magic
isn't that
sprinkles.
A beautiful? Like
I can't wait for the geoengineering startups.
Artists,
I cannot wait.
I know. They're already happening. I bet they're already happening. I put.
Yeah, and I mean the carbon scrubbing, which will never happen. Yeah. I'm talking about like people shooting particles out of planes.
I believe it's
happening. I cannot wait for those startups.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's happening. I really do.
Crowdfund me.
No, but what I want to see is I want an artist, because I'm not that good at painting, but this would be a good painting. Would be like the dystopia, but with like a parade, like a big corporate parade going through.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Like a Macy's
Perfect.
Day Parade in the apocalypse.
Perfect. Yeah, you don't see that
that's
in Blade Runner.
That's a beautiful.
Like people are like, well, like a parade. You know, yeah. Get the
and then like
and
just
cooler.
Like sad, dirty people like forced to be in the streets and cheering.
Yeah. Pray to MetLife.
That's the company I was thinking of too. They
that's
were the Charlie
one.
Brown,
see, that's
right?
In our fucking head,
that's
man. That's in our
up.
Fucking head,
that's
man.
Fucked
it's fucked up, man.
It's fucked up.
Fuck,
I know,
man.
I know. It's fucked that I have songs in my head that are jingles. Cocoa Wheats can't wait. Cocoa Wheats can't be beat. It's the creamy hot cereal with the cocoa treat to be big and strong
children.
And lots of
poisoning
fun.
Children.
Eat cocoa
minds.
Wheats, everyone.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter,
boom,
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 boom.
Don't worry, call the car X-Man.
I thought it was the Mako Man. Wasn't there a Mako one?
I don't fucking know. KC, why do people like you and me know jingles like that? Is it necessary in our hunter-gatherer sense of survival? No!
No, but they raised us.
The jingles didn't raise us. So specific to the U.S., okay, again, sea level rise, does that cause the Macy's Day parades to stop? I don't think so.
No.
Here's what I think it is, okay? Again, I think it's more than 50% unemployment brought on by an emptying of the Sun Belt and then the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
I think people that are like, eh, fuck you, the coastal elites are going to get fucking flooded. Yeah, that shit's going to fucking flood, but the breadbasket of America is going to dry out before that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
And when you end up with refugee camps outside of the remaining coastal cities, I'm willing to say that at that point where there's 50% unemployment, the Midwest has emptied out, and there's refugee camps around the bigger cities on the coast, if 3 to 5 major natural disasters happen to the continental United States at once, then I think people would not go to work. Like if it was like,
I know, but think about,
so I think that would do it.
But can you just, I don't want to joke too much about the whole refugee thing because, man, I tell you, JP, honey, it freaks me out.
There's people sleeping by train tracks right now, stuck behind a fence, man.
Because it's like, we got room.
Yeah.
We could house some families.
Holy shit, what if that was us?
Like, but the process of getting Syrian people here, A, is zero. And also, like, we don't know how to live in a community anymore.
I have no idea.
I have no idea how to do that. Like, I would do it, but I don't know how. Like, I don't know how. But fucking A, man. Think if we were all just a little bit fucking nicer. And we stopped breeding so much, too. That's a really important part. But, like, honestly, like, the idea of refugees, like, I don't want to be a refugee. I don't think I'm going to be, but I fucking might be. I don't know what the fuck's going to happen. I don't know what some dipshit in Florida is going to try to do to fucking geoengineer. Because there's no goddamn rules here. If you got money and you could pay the governor, you can do whatever the fuck you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that's terrifying.
The world ends on different days for different
and
people.
There's so
we're
many
not talking about death.
There's people that they've already hit the end of the world, and it is because of climate change. Because are the machine and climate change are the same thing.
And so I think your thesis then, Casey, is that people that pretend they don't see that, like, they're emotionally deluding themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do believe that people who are absorbed into video games all day, mm-hmm. which is an ever-growing contingent of our population, like, it's a choice. It's not like, I really like this game. It's like, I'm just going to do the game thing.
I can say as a once addicted to video games, yeah, it's an escape. You are trying to escape your reality.
I'm just going
to
do that.
Without a doubt. It is not any different than doing drugs.
Yeah,
it is not any different than doing drugs.
It's not like, oh, I'm enamored with the puzzles or I really like the colors.
It is a little different because some drugs can open your mind and make you see more, whereas video games mostly don't do that.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I'm just going to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Well, and smartphones and apps and Facebook and all that stuff. It's like,
and there's some people who are like, well, I just follow politics, like, at a really emotional level. It's just what I'm into now that's what Twitter taught me to do.
Because the machine has decided that we have to pick sides and we have to show what side we're on at all times because signaling is important and it makes people have an enemy, and the enemy is not the machine anymore. It's the people that don't think the same way as them.
Right.
So
yeah, there was some fucked up signaling we saw recently.
There was. What was that?
Oh, it was the fucking Duluth catalog.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So what do you think about the idea in the U.S.? Do you think that people can stop paying the mortgage only after there's 50% unemployment and 3 to 5 hurricanes hit at once?
Hmm.
Is that it?
I don't know, man. I mean,
I think there's climate refugees in America
really,
right now. America.
Yeah, there is. But what it comes down to is
Katrina,
when are the rich
Michael,
scared enough to say,
Wolseley fire?
Let's go.
Campfire?
Leave it.
When does Peter Thiel actually get on his plane to New
Zealand?
I don't
know who Peter Thiel is.
PayPal idiot.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I do. I think it's when these rich billionaires are like,
so
they're going to see it. That's the thing. And this is conspiracy theory, but they already fucking know. They probably know the date, like the exact lever where we're like, and now.
And that's
because they're fucking planning it. I mean, you can even see it just in the trends and this and that. And the fact that they are just sucking this earth dry. But I don't know. Maybe they just like
maximum carbon sinkhole. Conspiracy theory alert. Who gets credit from an actual policy perspective? True. Who gets credit for creating the internet? Al Gore.
Well, that's a joke, though. He doesn't really. Most people know that that's
from
not
a,
true.
From a policy perspective, he does.
Really?
Yes. Al Gore, from a policy perspective, helped birth the commercial internet. He got it out of the hands of strictly governments.
Oh, right. Yes.
And
yes.
Universities.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
Al Gore, from a policy perspective, credited with creating the internet.
The dumbest guy on earth.
The same guy that the elites, we would argue if you listen to episode 8 of Maximum Carbon Sinkhole, this is the same guy who they've trotted out to convince us that something can be done.
Oh,
and
you're
that they've
right.
thought about it.
Shit.
That's a fucking sleight of hand,
you
man.
You just fucking dropped the mic.
Yeah. That's why Al Gore is not your fucking friend,
See,
man.
Man, conspiracy theories suck
friend.
When they sound super like possible.
And I'm going to go to the mat for this one. I'm going to be like, that sounds that's going to sound cogent tomorrow. After I sleep it off, I'm going to be like, I think that was a good one still.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. We can't prove you wrong.
I feel like it just feels too strategic.
It does. Yeah, it does. All this shit does. It's like so freaky. Like we watch a lot of documentaries and a lot of them are good. All of them are good. I think we haven't seen a bad one in a while. I mean, even if it's poor production value.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show us like more cracks and more just like this has been going on forever.
Yeah.
And they just make it, all they do is morph it so people are placated.
Yeah.
That's it.
What if we could just stick them in front of a screen, man?
Yeah. I mean, it's fucking weird,
can
man.
Can we control them
That's
then?
Super conspiracy theorist-y and a little bit weird, but and, fucking A, right? I mean, you know what? Honestly, is that worse than just being like, it just randomly all happened like this? I mean, that's chaos theory, right? Or something?
I don't know.
I don't know sure. either. Sure. It's chaos
We're
theory.
We're not philosophers.
No. Is chaos theory a
I
philosophy?
Don't fucking know.
I
it
thought
sounded,
it was
yeah.
astrology.
But what?
Astrology.
Astrology. But... Yeah, man. And again, like this is where I get on my shit here. I'm like, JP, get off your shit. But Silicon Valley was like birthed out of the defense industry.
Yeah, that's okay? a fact. That's a known fact.
Okay. All of the fucking microchips, all of the fucking radios, the defense industry, Oracle's first contract,
okay.
the CIA, investors in Oracle, investors in Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
It's not,
totally.
It's right fucking there, man.
Yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Well, and even your cherished environmental organizations. We were watching If a Tree Falls, that 2011 documentary about the Earth Liberation Front.
Yeah.
In the Pacific Northwest, who was doing the dirty. And this fucking asshole from the FBI was on there, and he's like, after the bombing of a couple of ranger stations who allowed the logging of forests, this guy from the FBI, fucking mustache, fucking bald, he's like, well, after this incident of bombing the ranger station, mainstream sanctioned environmental groups were absolutely horrified at this behavior and wanted nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
It's like, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Motherfucker. I just heard what you said.
Yeah.
I just heard
yeah.
what you
it
said.
Was like, it was like, we accept this level of protest.
There's an escape valve. Okay.
Yeah.
Little.
Yeah. You get to do your thing and have your voice
yeah.
heard.
Judy and Johnny, you can yell in the top of the hill, scream.
But you got to know when
yeah.
the game's over.
Yeah. Well, and again, where major shit is happening, well, sure, you can protest in the protest zone.
Right.
This
yeah.
is the protest
yeah.
zone.
We'd been in the protest zone quite a few
yeah,
times.
Yeah, this is
yeah.
the zone for the protesting. Zone for protest. This is where it's okay. It's
yeah.
it's a public safety issue.
Yeah.
Is what it is. Yeah. Damn right it is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Casey, we've been walking around this. Have we gotten any closer to it?
No, but that's the point.
At least some of this is out of my head. I've shared it with the ether and with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's just, it's all weird. It's weird. And it's really weird.
When can we stop paying our mortgage? When can you murder the landlord? Do you have any ideas? Write us, carbonsinkhole@protonmail.com. What the fuck, man?
What the fuck?
Hi, Jack Blister here, coming to you from the Circle of Opportunity, formerly known as the Arctic Circle. Use mattresses on the newest coast? Hell yeah, bro. Now that the pesky permafrost is gone, the Northern Hemisphere is awash in gallons of new oceanfront real estate. At our newest used mattress emporium, refugees from Detroit, Anchorage, and Manitoba can all expect screaming deals on slightly soiled comforts, as well as our hottest item, track tubes. That's right, with a surplus of airplane-killing tubes that never really did snap together, you can buy your mattress, domicile, and non-functioning replica carbon sinkhole all in one. Don't pay for scuba lessons in Atlanta. Immigrate today to the North Coast, and Dick Blister's used mattress emporium will sell you a whole new life. The reindeer are all dead, though. No fish either. But these Canadian crickets sure are banging. They're like 50 feet long, hiding right there under the squishy moss the whole time. Crazy. And for those of you with working holodials, bring in a copy of my old show, Tuxedo Supremacist, where I played Ficus, the time-traveling and body-hopping house cat, to get a selfie with me, Jack Blister, for more juice on that timeline. Hashtag Northside Biatch! Check out our daily specials.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Quick garden update from KC. Go ahead.
So, started some new stuff. Really exciting. Heirloom seeds and beans. They're coming up. Everything's coming up except for the melons, and that's because the cats may have dug them up as well.
Yeah, that's what happens in permaculture, man. Sometimes the cats poop where the melons are. I think that's permaculture.
So
we're experts. We talked about it last week.
Yeah,
clearly.
We talked about it last week. So Florida has a few different growing seasons, and February is a good planting season, but it's a little tricky because I think we're going to have a I think spring's here and spring will be over next month.
Is it cold where you are? Because it's spring here.
It's spring here. Really warm. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, it's sunny. It's so nice outside.
I have to dry off my butt crack halfway through the day because I'm already that sweaty.
Yeah, it's nice. Like, it's nice at night. You just put a little sweatshirt on.
It's perfect.
You know, it's perfect. So, but because of that nice weather, it's possible to ramp up too high and we'll lose some of the stuff because nothing really likes to grow in the heat here.
So that's the garden update.
That's the garden update.
Thank you. Well,
it's been a long, crazy trip.
Maybe we should have just started here. But KC, do we have any feedback loops?
We do. We have a few.
Thanks for writing us, carbonsinkhole@protonmail.com. We could use the company.
Yes, we could. All right, first one. Hey, sinkholders. Love the show. You make us laugh in a time that we're always fighting back tears. Thank you. The apes.
Thank you, apes. Some of our four-legged apes like put down the fucking microphone.
I swear. They've just been a nightmare. Every time we pick up the microphones, they're like, party!
We record in the living room for now.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Dear KC and JP. Thanks for the show. Your cat's bell sounds just like mine. I listen to you at work, and when I hear that bell, it freaks me out. I think that my cat Friday is running around the warehouse.
Nice cat name.
About cats, what are your thoughts on being vegan, the impending apocalypse, and having cats? Thanks, Share Bear.
Wow. Many questions in that one. Being vegan is great. Our cats are not vegan, and the apocalypse sucks, but we're already there, man.
Yeah, and don't make your cat be vegan because cats aren't vegan, and that's too bad, but they're not. They eat bugs, so if you can, you know, pick up some crickets, that's maybe less evil than buying a bag of cat food, but then you got crickets, so I don't know.
Do you think there will ever be a time when there's a call to breed, let's say, crickets to repopulate the insect biomass that we've lost?
No, but I read an article that like the bug apocalypse is worse than we thought, because while there's a decline of, you know, good bugs, there's a huge increase of cockroaches and houseflies.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
So that's cool.
Cockroaches.
And houseflies are two favorites.
They're doing just fine. Everyone's joked about them forever.
I worry sometimes about our cats and the end times and how we'll deal with it. But then, you know, I see them outside and they're pretty happy eating pretty much every bug they see. So they might be a little thinner at the end times, but I think they'll be all right.
And we are planting chickens.
Yeah, to feed eggs.
Yeah. So that's kind of our hedge.
Yeah.
Good question, though, because we actually have thought about it. It's like, what, like 50% of their diet could be eggs? I don't know. How many chickens do you need for that?
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Okay.
All right, last one. JP and KC. Nice permaculture show. I've been reading everything I can find on it. I agree. It seems like Australia is the epicenter. But I think you should do a show on all the shit they've got wrong. They are still perpetuating the bullshit that people are superior, and that just pisses me off. Stay weird, BC from DC.
Oh, thanks, BC from DC.
Yeah.
Well, we have some feelers out to try to get some AU guests on the podcast, and we're still waiting to hear back. So if you know anybody that's doing the permaculture and or the staving off eco grief in Australia, write us.
Yeah.
carbonsinkhole@protonmail.com.
Yep.
What do you think they get wrong? Casey, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think that they're definitely human-centric. I think, well, A, they still perpetuate meat eating, which...
And we don't know any Australians, so you're saying that from the Australian media we consume?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, books, articles, websites, so on and so forth. And they, like, their food forests, they have the anti-aviaries, which I respect to a certain degree, but at the same time, like, I feel like we have enough to share to a certain extent. I mean, I guess if our crops were decimated, maybe I'd think about that. But, you know, we need pollinators and, you know, birds spread seeds and I don't know. We're here together, man, you know?
Yeah, so we did that show on our intro to permaculture, and it's inspired us, and it's changed a lot of our behavior with the way that we were gardening.
Yeah.
But it's important to remember that permaculture is a portmanteau of permanent and agriculture. As such, it's not an ecological mindset.
No, it's not.
There's no suggestions for how to build a butterfly garden adjacent to your permaculture food forest.
It's definitely
for
more prepper survivalist escapist than it is just like harmonizing and trying to make the best of the world that you live in and all that stuff.
I will say that I don't know if I agree that it's prepper survivalist so much as more along the lines of teaching people to live their best life outside of the rat race.
Okay, maybe. Yeah.
And like the prepper survival, like there's definitely strains of people doing that, I think, in the U.S.
Right.
Doing the whole homesteader, prepper, survivalist with permaculture techniques.
Right.
You can go down all these rabbit holes, okay, with permaculture.
Well, with any of them, that's the thing. Like, I mean, there's, you know, veganism, marijuanaism, all of it has its bad side. So I think with everything, you got to kind of pick and choose. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, well, speaking of marijuana, Casey, what's the plan of the week?
The plan of the week is not marijuana. It is Australian.
Do you think people could tell on the podcast that's how fucking...
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
What's the word I'm looking for?
Stoned?
Yeah, that word. Paranoid.
Paranoid.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wondering. You guys can tell, right? Sometimes it's a detriment, and we know that. And other times we're like, I don't know how else you like this. We're
we
like,
really
how?
Need Jack hair. That's the strain that the really makes everybody smarter.
Yeah, find Jack hair if there's some Jack hair near you. Yeah. But I don't know, man. Sometimes, like, how do you get close to this? You know, you get on the pot a little.
Gonna smoke on the pot. Gonna smoke on the pot. So Australian plant of the week, bottle brush.
Wait, that's from Australia?
Yes, it is. It's an Australian native. Of course it is. Think of it. They got marsupials and they got weird-ass plants.
This is a fucking weird-ass plant.
It's a weird-ass plant. We have 3 weeping bottle brushes and 1...
Ground
bush. Bottle brush. And if you Google it or Ecoasia it...
Yeah, switch your browser search engine.
Ecosia.
They plant trees or something.
Yeah. Who knows? It's probably bullshit. But I mean, it makes you feel better, I guess.
Oh, I feel great when I
every time you search, you can feel better, even if you're searching for something.
So look up images of bottle brush. Self-explanatory.
Yeah. It does look like a bottle brush. It's red. It attracts hummingbirds.
How would you explain it to somebody that's never washed a bottle?
Fuck them, you know? You never washed a bottle. What's
Imagine
wrong with
it.
You?
How would you wash a bottle? How do you get the brush in there? That's what the plant has done for us.
Yeah. Has it washed a bottle yet for us? We have bottles.
The flowers are kind of coarse. I don't want to try it because they're too pretty.
They're too pretty.
Describe the bottle brush then.
The bottle brush is... So the weeping one, I think, is the coolest because it's... Well, ours are tall. Ours are 7-8 feet tall?
Yeah.
About? And so it's this skinny pole... And then on top, it just looks, it looks comical. It looks cartoonish. It looks, what's that guy? One fish, two fish, green fish, black fish.
I was going to say it looks like Sideshow Bob's hair. I don't know what the fuck. Oh, it's Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss. I think he was racist though, so we can't use him anymore.
Mm.
Damn it. Everybody dies and turns out racist. It's weird.
Yeah. Except Mr. Rogers.
I don't know.
Okay.
He creeped me out when I was a kid. I'm still on the fence if he's a pedophile.
Yeah, well,
he had Mr. Feely or whatever.
This mailman was called Mr. McFeely.
Come on. Oh. Yeah, there was something weird going on with that. I don't know.
No. All right, so it's a Dr. Seuss looking motherfucking plant.
Yeah, but the flowers, the red is like the reddest I've ever seen, and it's fuzzy, but when you watch them unfurl, it looks almost like an insect.
It looks like Velcro,
yeah,
kind
it's
of.
It's crazy.
Anyway, weeping bottle brush and then our ground shrub bottle brush. It's all really cool.
Yeah, so they are mostly tropical or subtropical. That's the...
Wah, wah. Can you grow it inside?
I bet you can, but I bet one flower without full sun. So
yeah, so get some grow lights, man.
Yeah, man.
Check out your bottle brush while you're growing some other things.
Do it. And then you're like kind of permaculture-y because it's from Australia, and Australia is the epicenter of permaculture.
Well, if you made it through this entire episode...
Good for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And as you can tell, we have no idea what the fuck we're talking about. We talk about the shit all the time. How is the world going to end? I think, though, I've circled around to this idea that the end is a myth. And I think that we've all become a nerd and just blindly accepted this idea that the end of the world is going to be like a Roland Emmerich movie where it's going to be like the waves crash over the Statue of Liberty at the same time there's tornadoes in the entire continent of Africa. And that's not how it's going to work.
I'm not a nerd.
That's a lie. She's pretty nerdy. You should see her with a calculator.
I am pretty nerdy.
I'm like, wow. And a calculator and a periodic table?
Watch
fucking nerd
the
out.
Fuck out. That's how I cook.
Well... elementally
and numerically.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Fuck, what do you think about the end of the world? Write us carbonsinkle@protonmail.com. thanks for going on this weird journey.
Yeah, when is it gonna happen? We're taking bets.
Oh, fuck. All right, thanks for listening. We're sorry.
Yeah, bye.
gotta be honest with you. I'm not one of them bullshit show business people, man. Who makes believe everything is going okay. You know? Because everything is not going okay, man.